Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. Praise the Lord for just, again, the opportunity to be in church tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6 on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Noah. The life of Noah. And there's so much here. And you learn so much about the beginning of creation, about the flood, and what took place during that time. Studying the life of Noah because it gives us a genealogy that led up to Noah, to only two genealogies given, one of the offspring of Cain and one of the offspring of Seth. Now, there's many others. Adam and Eve had several other children and all the others, but these are the two genealogies because it's to help us to understand what takes place in chapter 6 when the offspring of Seth and the offspring of Cain actually marry outside the will of God. And it creates a society that's on earth at that time that God would destroy. And he would destroy with the great flood. And we've studied so much about that, and so we don't have time to go back into everything. But if you go back with me, chapter 6, we're going to actually start reading in verse 1. We've already studied verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Tonight we're actually going to be studying verse 6 and 7. But there's so much in each one of these verses, and we've already been in this series for several months, and we haven't gotten very far, but we have been able to learn much from this beginning study of Noah. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7 tonight, with our lesson going to be on verse 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, we've already studied that, because that's the two genealogies that we have, is the sons of God and the daughters of men, which would have been Cain and then the descendants of Seth. That they were fair, and they looked on them, and they saw that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 120 years is the time that God would give them to repent during Noah's life. When Noah is now going to build the ark, it takes Noah 120 years to build the ark. During that time, they will be given the opportunity to repent and to turn back to God. That's what it's talking about in verse 3. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again tonight, we thank you, Lord God, for loving us. We thank you for how you have preserved your word for us that we might know the very mind of God. And thank you for revealing yourself to us in such a way. And I pray tonight as we have assembled here on this Wednesday night for this Bible study that you would use this, especially the teaching of these two verses, to give us greater insight into understanding your will for our lives today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The life of Noah, the last lesson that we taught it out of verse 5. A very important lesson and very important verse concerning the life of Noah, because these are things that Noah will understand while he is in building the ark. He will understand these things. In verse 5 it says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so what we studied last lesson was what God saw. Now, there was over 1,600 years of reproduction on this planet before the flood. 1,600 centuries, 1,600 years, okay? 16 centuries, 1,600 years. And so we find that, there was multiplication. If you start doing that, not only was Adam and Eve, and man lived longer. There were some that lived 960 years. Many lived 800 years. So that means they were continually having children. And so Adam and Eve continued to have children after they had Cain and Abel and Seth. But we only mentions those three, but it goes on to say that they continue to have children and as well as all the others. And so there is a great multiplication of people on planet Earth. And there's a, many believe, many Bible scholars believe, there was several million people on planet Earth when the Earth was destroyed with the flood. We do know that there was over 1,600 years of reproduction of babies being born and continuously during that time. And the Bible gives us a little more insight. We've studied that in verse 3 and 4 as far as what took place. And there was ungodly marriages that eventually took place. And there was a lot of things that were happening that led up to verse 5 when it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man upon the earth, was great upon in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is what God saw. This is not what God had planned for man. This is not why God designed the earth the way he did. This is not what God designed for mankind, how they were to live their lives. But this is what God saw. Man's lifestyle toward God and others. That's what he was looking at. They rejected God. Now, it's because of the descendants of Cain started reproducing, and they would reproduce without any thought of God because God banished Cain. And so they were reproducing a people on this earth that were non-believers, that would not acknowledge God, and they would live their life however they wanted to live their life. Well, then those of Seth were those who would have been identified with Christianity today, those that believed in God, believed in Messiah, believed in the will of God and the ways of God. And then they started mingling. They started having these unequally yoked marriages. And so we've studied some of that. And God saw the wickedness. This is what God saw, that their lifestyle was very wicked, not only toward God, but toward each other. Wicked toward God in that they did not acknowledge God, did not want to retain the thought of God in their hearts and minds, same as Romans chapter 1. You can see a lot of similarities in the day and age we're living in today. And how they treated one another. They did not obey the two great commandments, and that's love God and then love your neighbor. Amen? Love others. Didn't have that. So the Bible says, as God looked upon the face of the earth, that they saw, first of all, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, all around the earth, all of civilization, all of humanity. And not only that, what God saw was not only the outward that others would see. What God can do, which we cannot do, is God can see into the hearts and the minds of people. He knows what's going on inside of us. Because the Bible says, and that every imagination of the thoughts, God saw humanity and their thought life, their imaginations, were only evil continually. They weren't thinking about God and holiness and righteousness and doing good. They were thinking about greed. They were thinking about lust. They were thinking about everything that God calls evil continually. Wow. That's what God saw. So that's what we studied. Now with that, and we don't have time to go any further because we've got a powerful message tonight, verse 6 and 7. Okay, tonight is how what God saw affected him. How what God saw versus what God's desire and will was for man on earth. What God saw and how what God saw affected God. Affected a creator God. God has chosen to allow mankind to affect him. Now, when you stop and think about the person of God, the omnipotence of God, the holiness of God, surrounds himself in an environment of praise, created beings in heaven just to cry out, holy, 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 on a continual basis. And how God allowed creation, his crown of creation, humanity, the only creature that God created after his own image and his own likeness was mankind. And he created all things for mankind. And he had a totally different concept, if you will, of what how he wanted man to live. And the Bible says this is how man was living. And this is what God saw. And now verse 6 and 7, how it affected him. The first thing that we find the Bible says about God and how it affected him was, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Repented the Lord. And in closing, in verse 7 it says, for it repenteth me, God says, it repenteth me that I have made them. So the question is, and this is helping us to have a better understanding who God is, because God's the same God today as he was then. God's repentance, what does that mean? What does that mean? Repentance, when applied to man, means this: a change of mind leading to a change of life. If we would be acknowledged as being repentant, it would be me going in this direction, and then I realize this direction's the wrong direction. Somehow, some way, knowledge got come into my mind through somebody witnessing to me, through my reading something, God revealing to me, this is not in the will of God. I am going to repent in my mind. I don't want to go this direction anymore. So repentance would mean a change of mind leading to a change of life. That's repentance. I'm no longer going that way. I have decided to repent from going that direction, and if I repent from going that direction, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go now looking to the will of God. My mind was, I want to live this way, go this direction, but then I realized that's not God's will for my life, and I want to repent because I want God's will for my life, and so repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of life. Hopefully everyone in here has experienced repentance. If you got saved, you have experienced repentance. As a Christian, if you've ever been outside the will of God and now you're back into the will of God, the only way you get back into the will of God is through repentance. A confession and forsaking of sin, by which I confess and forsake, God forgives me and sets me back on a right road, a right direction. But that's how it is applied when we apply repentance to man. But what about applying a repentance to God? Applying repentance to God must be based upon what God has told us about himself. What has God told us about himself? Many things, but in regards to repentance, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. So it doesn't apply. There's no contradictions in scriptures. But somebody might say, well, if God says that he repented, and repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of life, and then he says, I am God and I change not, how can that not be a contradiction? Well, it's only seems to be a contradiction based upon our ignorance, if you believe it is a contradiction. Whenever I read the Bible and it seems to be a contradiction of what the Bible says, I automatically understand there are no contradictions. And so I have to realize it must be my ignorance that makes it seem like a contradiction. And what I need to do is dig a little bit deeper to understand what the Bible is teaching. Amen. And so we dig a little deeper into what the Bible is teaching here. If the Bible says, for I am the Lord, God says, I want you to know this about me. I change not. In the New Testament, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ, who is God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a blessing it is to know that my God never changes. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. The God that created Adam and Eve is the same God that is alive today and working in the lives of His children today. The very same God. God's purpose for man in the beginning continues to be God's purpose for man today. God created man that man might fellowship with God. God gave him a free will so he would choose to fellowship with God, not be forced, not be robotic in his love for God, but would have a choice. And we know much about God as we study much about man, because man was created in God's likeness and in his image. Psalms 102, look there with me. So what we're studying here is called the immutability of God, which means that God cannot change. If God can never change his mind cannot be changed if he never changes. Then the definition of repentance as we know it does not apply to God. Psalms 102, verse 25. Everybody follow me tonight? You got to put your thinking caps on Wednesday night. There's so much as we get into here and breaking the scriptures down and giving you an understanding of it. Psalms 102 and verse 25 says this, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth." He did. "And the heavens are the works of thy hands." They are. "They shall perish." Heaven and earth shall pass away. "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same." The immutability of God. He cannot change. "But thou art the same." Everything else that we have knowledge of, everything else that we know is going through changes. The one thing that you can mark that will never change is God. Wow. "Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." So, it would be impossible for God to change his mind, but not his actions. So repentance is not a God changing his mind. Repentance is God changing his actions. His mind was already made up. "As man looked to me, God has rewarded those who diligently seek me. As my creation looked to me and worshiped me and did my will, my desire would be to continue to bless them. Would desire to continue to be a father unto them and allow them to be my children." That's God's will for mankind. That's God's will for his relationship with humanity that God created so that he could be a father and they could be his children and they could be this sweet fellowship and we would bring pleasure to God. Man was created for God's pleasure. What a blessing it is when we bring children in this world. And what pleasure it brings to us. Amen. First of all, we're just, I mean, it's a miracle. The miracle of birth. And you think, look what we produced. Yeah, look at that. She has your eyes and my nose and his cheeks. Wow. We start looking at that, and as they start growing and they start becoming their own little personality, you know. And we start, even though they're their own little personality, they resemble, when they're bad, they resemble the personality of their mothers. When they're good, they resemble the personality of their fathers. Amen. But no, what do children, they, They bring joy into the home. They bring pleasure to the parents. They are a blessing. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and they're a blessing to us. God created mankind and made them to reproduce so that he would have pleasure with humanity. They could bring him a special type of pleasure. And his desire was to bless them. His desire was to meet them and enjoy their fellowship day in and day out. That was his desire. That never has changed. Never has changed. Because God is immutable. His thoughts do not change. Once you know a thought of God, mark it down, it'll never change. Once you know that God loves you, mark it down, it will never change. God never stops loving. Never stops giving to those who he can give to. So, it would be impossible, as we understand what God's given to us. So, repentance applied to man is different than repentance applied to God, because you'll find that God repented throughout the scriptures. It's how we apply it that's important. It's not a contradiction. It's our ignorance if you think it is. It's understanding it when you know it's not. So it would be impossible for God to change his mind, but not his actions. God will change his judicial action as man changes his mind. As man changes his mind, man can change his mind. Does everybody understand that? Every husband in here knows that his wife can change her mind. And when it comes to things that really doesn't matter, like what color they want their hair, or how they want to have their hair cut, or what color of clothes they want, or how they want, whatever it might be, or what color of paint they want the room to be, or where they want their furniture to sit. Amen. They can change. That's all right. They can change their mind. And we have a way of changing our minds too. All right. Man will change. God will never change his mind. Never. Why? Because he's immutable. He's the same. Yesterday, today, that will never change. That is a truth, a fact about God that you can count on. But you can also understand that he can change his judicial actions as we change our minds. As we change our minds or make decisions according to or opposite the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me give you an illustration here. 2 Peter chapter 3. The one that I've used often. I think it's one that we all ought to have a better understanding, knowing that God does not change his mind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing. The will of God is that no man die and go to hell. That will never change. It was never God's intent to create man and then to send them to hell. That was not God's thinking when he created humanity. I trust we understand that. And his thinking when he created humanity is the same today. But ultimately, there will be and there are men going to be cast into a lake of fire. Never God's will. So why then do people go to a place of hell and will eventually be cast into an eternal hell created for Satan and his angels? That's why God created it, not for man. Why? Because it's not God's will for man to go there. Why then will man go to hell? because of their choice. And based upon man's thinking and man's choices, then God will deal with them. Either God's blessings or God's judgment. When man fails to receive God's gift, an adjustment has to be made. God's will that all be saved. God's will that no human being ever would have to go to a place of hell. And God has done everything he can to help man to do that, to make the right decisions. But because of man's free will, God will not and will not force man to make a right decision. So God's will for your life is that you go to heaven. But when you reach the age of accountability and you fail at some point to receive Christ as your Savior, then his judicial action kicks in and the blessings of God cannot be bestowed upon you any longer. Does that make sense to everybody? So when God saw, man was not living as he commanded them to live. Societies were not being developed as God wanted them to be developed. Children were not being raised as God wanted them to be raised. Marriages were not the way that God had designed them. So God says, my thinking is the same. That'll never change. But my actions will change. It repenteth me. See, God was going to and would have blessed man, but because of man's free will choices, God would not be able to bless them, but rather he would have to judge him. That hadn't changed. Same today. God wants to bless us in every area of life. But the only way that God can bless us in every area of life is if we do things the way God has designed us to do things, because God says, I will bless my word. If you choose to obey my word, then you can expect the blessings of God, because God blesses his word. But if you choose to disobey, if you choose to turn away from what thus saith the Lord, then God will not bless that. He cannot bless that. That he repents of, to where he changes, and now there is a judicial process that takes place based on a just and holy God, a righteous God. And so go back with me, Genesis. We find this in the very beginning. It's who God has been ever since. Why? Because he's immutable. So God, the first thing, how what God saw affected him. Everybody here understand that first of all, it repented God. God had to change how he was going to treat man based on man's decisions for his life. Could no longer fellowship with man. Could no longer enjoy man. Wow. But it didn't stop there. But it did repent the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it, a second thing that it did to him, grieved. Grieved God at his heart. The heart represents the seat of emotion. God has emotions. Study the scriptures. Study the things about God, especially the Jesus Christ. When he walked on the face, he was God in flesh. Did he have emotions? Sure he did. Did he weep? Did he have compassion? Was he grieved? Sure he was. Reflects upon his feelings. It's hard for me to fully understand how that the God that created all things could have feelings. And yet, God wants me to know that he does. I think knowing that God has chosen to allow us to affect him. God has chosen, this almighty creator God has chosen to allow what he created, the crown of creation, to affect his feelings. We can barely understand it by understanding our own feelings. You multiply that times millions and billions and you'll better understand God. Okay? But we can have some sense of understanding how it affects God by how it affects you. Have you ever been grieved by somebody's actions towards you? Especially the more you love somebody, the higher expectations you have of somebody, the more they can grieve you. What is that? Upset, displeased, regret, sorrow. So God had sorrow that he had made man because how he turned out. God had regrets that he had made man because how he turned out. God was displeased with how man turned out. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. This is one that most of us would be aware of that realize that God can be grieved. And even God, who now dwells within the actual bodies of humanity of the believer, even as the saved have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we affect God by how we live our lives as to yielding or to God's will or not. The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. So if you're a born-again believer and you have corrupt communications coming out of your mouth, let me tell you right now, you're grieving God. Because it's God's will that you have no corrupt communications coming out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. He dwells within you. He knows what's going on inside and outside of you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, these are things that will grieve God. These are things that we do that will actually affect God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. These are things that God wanted the people on earth. This is how he wanted them to live then. And be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When we fail to do these things, then we grieve God. And as you grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, it will affect you as well, because he lives and dwells within you. The grieving of God inside of you will lead to a conviction of your own heart and mind, lead to a loss of peace, lead to a loss of joy, because it's something within me that is just grieved. You cannot have joy and be grieved at the same time. All sin grieves God, because it's never God's will for a man to sin. Now, the world was filled of it, and they were continuously. And so God was grieved continuously with his thought and his relationship with humanity. Thus, why we can see how the great flood was a just and righteous thing for God to do. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. You know the verse, let me just read it to you, because this is what God's will is for our lives. And we choose to go opposite God's will, then God will not bless us like he would want to bless us, but God then has to enact judicial action. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 John. My little children, God says, you're my children. I'm your heavenly father. I want to be a father unto you. I want to be able to bless you. I want you to bring pleasure to my life, my heart, my mind. I want you to be a blessing to me, and I want to be a blessing to you. That's the way the family has been designed to be. But he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Sin not. It's never God's will for us to sin at all. Thus, when we do sin, we grieve God. For the born-again believer, the Bible says in Hebrews 6 that we crucify Christ afresh. It shames the testimony of Christ. When you, as a born-again believer, you sin, you shame the very testimony of the one who died for you. So that ought to help us when we understand that, not to sin. Every child ought to have such a relationship with their parents that they want to do right because they don't want to hurt the feelings of their parents. Can I tell you that kept me from doing so much when I was young? Not that I couldn't think that I could get by with it, but how it would affect my mom if she found out that I did it. And I couldn't handle how sad it would make her, how sorry it would make her, how grieved she would be in her heart. Think that our perfect son could ever do such a thing. And because of that, my love for my parents, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. I didn't want to bring grief into their lives. Wow. Can I tell you? It's exactly the kind of relationship that God wants with us. We're his children. He loved us, and we ought to understand his love for us because he first loved us. We ought to love him. And if we truly love him, we don't want to grieve him. We would never want to do something that would grieve him, affect his emotions. And God has chosen to allow mankind to be able to affect him. That's powerful stuff. It's always been that way. We find this in the very beginning. So now we find how what God saw affected him and God's response. And we're done. We'll go back there with me real quick because we'll spend more time on this response next week. God's response to man's actions. God's response to man's decisions, his choices that he would have made. God realizes, I can't bless him. I can't have fellowship with him. Because of the character of God, the nature of his holiness, the nature of his righteousness, the nature of his justness, he could not have fellowship with man. And the Lord said, I can't bless him. I can't have fellowship with him. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Grieved God to think that he would have to destroy the very creation that resembled himself. It was created in his likeness and his image. The very thing that he created for fellowship has now caused God to be grieved. So God's response to man's action, judgment. Judgment based upon what God had already established with Adam. And once God's established it, it will never change. And God's told Adam in chapter 2 and verse 17, you can have all this, it's created for you, but just you can't partake of this. And the day that in which you partake of it, thou shalt surely die. If you choose to live like that, if you choose to rebel against me, we can't have fellowship. I can't bless you. And you will surely die. Now he's looking at the multitude of humanity on this earth. And he's seeing that their wickedness of man was great, And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the only decision that could be made, based on a holy and righteous God, I have to destroy. I have to destroy man because of his decisions and what I had already established. Which brings us back to where we're at today, because it's the same thing. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So wages, the penalty, it has to be. If you sin without receiving the gift of forgiveness, without desiring the gift that God has made for us, if you sin and you don't accept God's plan of forgiveness, you shall surely die. The only just and righteous response to man's sin was death. And it led to God, at this time, destroying the world with the flood. Ultimately, it'll lead to this. Revelation chapter 20, and we're done. Revelation chapter 20. Ultimately, it leads right here. The end of time. Well, there'll be no more time. No more sin nature. But this is the ultimate righteous judgment of God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. The books were open. The books of how they lived their lives, the decisions they made. Another book was open, which is the book of life. Whether or not that person's name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things, which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, because they chose to do what they did. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life failed to accept God's plan of salvation, was cast into the lake of fire. How what God saw affected him and led to what God would do. Now we're going to find Noah comes in here. See, because we'll find that Noah was the only one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what a great blessing it is to understand the rest of the story. But what we study tonight is a powerful truth that's the same today that it was then. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you know God? Do you realize that God allows you to affect Him? If you understand who God is and know that God loves me enough and cares enough for me that He allows me and my decisions to affect Him, we would never want to affect Him negatively. We would always want to be pleasing to God. We would always want and desire the blessings and fellowship with God instead of the judgment of God. Tonight, before we leave, we're not going to have a musical invitation. Never do. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but there's always an opportunity to make a decision, an invitation time. If God spoke to you tonight for whatever reason, there might be somebody here that not for sure that you're saved. If you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know beyond the shadow of doubt that you've taken advantage and you've done what the Bible says a person must do to be saved, there's no better time to get saved than tonight. Right now, if you have that awareness, repent. Receive the grace and the mercy of God. Be saved. Any other decision need be made, if you need to do so, now is the time. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank you, Lord God, for meeting with us tonight, allowing us to be here. Thank You for the preserved Word of God, that we can study it, learn who You are. Thank You tonight for Your love for humanity. And God, I pray that we would accept that and understand that and live a life that is pleasing to Thee. Now be with us as we leave here tonight. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour in Jesus' name.